And welcome to the UK and Ireland Minnesota Vikings Fan Club podcast. I am your host and co-president, Mr. Richard Dawson, and I am joined tonight by vice president and all-round nice guy, Mr. John McDonald, and show producer and co-president, Mr. Reese Field. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good to hear your voices again. So, free agency has started. We have started to sign players. We've also not signed some players yet. We'll have to talk about that, see what's happening in free agency so far. And we have a listener question, which we know you all like, talking about who to pick and who to avoid in the draft. Are we going to trade up? Are we not going to trade up? What's going to happen? Right, let's get into it. So as free agency frenzy rolls on, if you listened to last week's show or our midweek bulletin, you will know that we have signed a trio of linebackers as well as moving on from our long-standing quarterback and getting a new quarterback in the room, as well as Mr. Jones from the Green Bay Packers has signed. What else has happened in the meantime, Reese?
Well, since last week's podcast and the bulletin went out, there's been a couple more acquisitions and a couple more re-signings. We've had Jonathan Bullard and Brandon Powell come back, re-signing. Both seem very keen to come back here. I mean, why wouldn't you? You've seen how well the place grades amongst other players. But then also a couple of extra pickups with Jerry Tillery, the former Las Vegas Raider, signing a one-year contract at defensive tackle. And also Trent Sherfield, another, to sign a one-year deal. That is a player who I feel is going to offer something more in the run game, which is strange from a wide receiver point of view, but he's naturally been quite a good blocker in his career. And then a swing guard / center in Dan Feeney, one of the better haircuts and moustaches I've seen in the National Football League, without a doubt. Maybe a bit more backup quality and maybe trying to put some more competition in there amongst those backup spots. Hopefully the team does go for a starting caliber left guard. We need that. We can't be going down the old Spillman route of, let's just sign up a load of backup guards and let one of them beat out the others and assume that that guard is going to play better than the backup caliber.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is a depth move all round. If you go back to last season, it's a long old season these days, 17 games. And I don't think at any stage of the season we played a full, apart from maybe the first few games, I don't know if the last time we played a full starting offensive line and defensive line. We've just had injuries all over the place. So it is good to finally get some depth in the squad. Gone are the days potentially of reaching to the depths and having to slot a guy in because our starting players are not fit. John, what do you think of the new acquisitions?
As you said there, Rich, we've got some good depth. We've got some good depth there and some really good players. I really liked the last week's additions which we all talked about. We got Jones and everyone like that, which we hadn't signed last time. But yeah, some really good depth on that lineup.
Yeah, I'm excited about Jones. I think that he's coming hungry and you can sort of sense it in his voice. He's had a really good first interview. He's done some nice social media posts and content with the marketing guys in the front office. He's feeling a bit splashy. I think he wants to prove to the rest of the league that he should have been paid where he was. And he's come to us quite hungry, which I quite like. One thing we do have to do is apologize for the pronunciation of our new edge, Jonathan Grenard, because, of course, G-R-E-E-N doesn't spell green. It's Gren. So we have to apologize for that up front. He was very vocal about that in his first interview. But yeah, I like the rest of the depth. I think we've still got some work to do, obviously, like you've mentioned, Reese. I think the interior offensive line needs a little bit more work, but Kwesi's come out today and said he's going to get the best players to do the best job.
Yeah, I think depth is a huge thing that we had to address, though. The Tillery signing from the Raiders, for me, that's one that screams what this team was lacking, and it was defensive line depth last season. On a third of our defensive snaps, we played one defensive lineman last year, which is crazy. But I think this is where Kwesi, you know, he was in his infancy as a GM, and he's learning that you have to add depth everywhere. You can't just assume that, you know, 20 linebackers will do the job of five defensive linemen. You need that depth across the board, and I think he's learning in the role. And say, I just hope that he does find one more starting caliber player on that offensive line, because we are looking more and more like having a rookie quarterback, and you can't afford to get that guy squashed.
Well, you say rookie quarterback. You got to update the fans in the bulletin midweek, but Mr. Sam Darnold has signed for the team. I've heard a lot of, oh no, he's going to be rubbish, and what have the front office done, and blah, blah, blah. He is a bridge quarterback. He signed a one-year deal. It's a, for him, it's a bit like the Baker Mayfield deal that he signed at the Bucks last season, a bit of a prove-it sort of deal. I don't think, even if he did prove it, that he would come back the season after for us. I still think that the long-term plan is to find the franchise quarterback. But he's a former third overall pick. He's a quarterback. I think he's going to do a decent job. And I think that we have got the coaching staff that will allow someone like him to prove himself, if he's got it, whilst the season goes on.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's a 1 year. It's a prove it or lose it deal. Prove you're good enough or lose your NFL career. That's what Sam Darnold's, you know, that's what it means to him personally. He will have been brought in also to help bridge a quarterback, grow a quarterback. He's come in to the league in a situation at the Jets that was nowhere near as good as the situation of a potential rookie quarterback coming into the Vikings. But he's there. He's got to help it grow. We've already mentioned in the previous podcast, Josh McCown as well coming in, experience working with college quarterbacks. And, well, we've got a former quarterback as a head coach. This could not be a better situation for a new quarterback. Not to mention you've also got the best wide receiver in football.
And Jones gives us an option. You know, he can extend the offense on the field, which I really like. John, I know you haven't had a chance to give your opinion on Mr. Sam Darnold. Do you want to chip in?
Yeah, people are down on Sam Darnold here at the Vikings, but he's only going to be a bridge quarterback. We know that now. But he's also just backed up the NFC champions as a quarterback. He must have done pretty well there to beat out some of the positions there. So he's got something going right if he can play in that system, and they saw enough to make him the backup. But yeah, he's definitely only a bridge, but it's something to look forward to. And you've got Aaron Jones as well, which we all know how good he is. We've seen him play for years and years against us. He's exceptional at pass blocking as well, so it's something to really look forward to. That's something you really need when you've got a rookie quarterback, which, let's face it, we know we're getting there.
Yeah, 1-2 punch, Jones and Ty Chandler. I'm pretty happy with that, especially when you've got a wide receiving core of Jefferson for the moment, Addison, and Mr. Powell has come back to the team as well, which I'm really excited about.
For the moment, what is it with you and this trade JJ stuff, man?
Again, the option is there. That's all I'm saying. But concentrating on our wide receiver core, that is definitely still here. Mr. Powell has come back to the squad, which we are all, I'm assuming, happy with. The only thing that does mean is that Mr. KJ Osborne has moved on, signed for the Patriots this week, which, you know, all the best to him. He had a, for putting it politely, indifferent season last year of doing what wide receivers are not supposed to do, which is drop the ball. And I do think he's got something in him, though. I think the season before that, he looked pretty good and was pushing for that wide receiver two spot. He has regressed last year, but all the best to him at the Patriots. But I'm excited for Powell. I thought he showed glimpses of real quality, especially under pressure last season. So I'm happy to have him back.
Yeah, definitely, Ray. Definitely good luck to KJ. He's done a lot for this team over the years, but he's not a wide receiver three. He's a wide receiver two, and unfortunately with us, he has to be a wide receiver three because you've got Addison and JJ. He's quality, and I don't think the quarterbacks really helped him out a lot last year because we were going through a quarterback like anything last year, so he couldn't show his best ability. But yes, I do wish him all the best. I know there are a lot of fans out there who are really going to miss him, but yeah, I wish him all the best in the future.
Yeah, I'm going to triple down on what's been said by you two. KJ, exceptional player. Too good to be a number three. Yeah, he didn't have a great year last year, but I think, like John said, we were going through quarterbacks like they were going out of fashion last year. So it's difficult for any receiver in that situation. And yeah, how he stepped up in that carousel. But at the same time, you could argue that he was going to step up because he was working with those fringe quarterbacks throughout the year, taking reps with them through practice, whereas, you know, Addison, JJ, KJ wouldn't have been doing that as much. So, you know, a big step up. And, you know, something to note there that KJ, he might be leaving the Vikings, but there is a good chance he's going to be dealing with a rookie quarterback as well.
Yeah, all the best to him. So going through what we've done so far, we've got some good depth and starting caliber players on defense. We've got some good depth and starting caliber players on offense. The team is starting to shape up and starting to shape up pretty competitively, considering we're probably in a rebuild sort of year, potentially looking at, I don't know, 7-8 wins at the season. Which brings us on to who are we going to draft and who is going to make us competitive in the future. So let's get into it. Who are we going to draft? So this time last week, we were going through free agency frenzy. That has calmed down a little bit. And we have had a listener question based off the fact that we have made a little tradey trade with the Texans, sending a couple of second round picks over for their first round pick this year. So second round pick this year, second round pick next year, a couple of other picks have traded. But the main thing is we've got now pick 11 and pick 23. So Reese, what question have we been asked?
Yes, thank you, Rich. We've had a question from listener Dominic, who has asked, with the acquisition of Sam Darnold in free agency, it seems certain that the Vikings will be looking for our long-term quarterback in the draft. Which quarterback should the Vikings be targeting, and will they need to move up to get them? Well, of course, now we've got a bit more draft capital, that might be the case.
Great question, great question. Obviously, I have got the correct answer, but John, what's your opinion?
Obviously, we will be moving up. It's been made pretty clear we're going to be moving up. We all know that now. So I think we're going to be probably trade. I personally think we're going to be trading with the Chargers at 5. I don't see the Patriots wanting to trade down with us, which a lot of people seem to think. The Cardinals are obviously going to be taking the wide receiver, the best player in this draft. So, I think the next option is the Chargers at 5. So that's where I think we're going to be trading with. I think if we give them 11 and 23, I think they'll be happy with that at 5.
Who are we trading for then, John?
I think by the time it gets down to us at 5, if we get there, I think it'll be JJ McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy. I think we've all mentioned his name in the past few weeks of someone potentially to go for. His draft stock seems to be going up and up, depending on who you listen to. But some people think he's a little bit overinflated. Any reason why you want to go JJ McCarthy, John? What does he sing to you?
For me, JJ McCarthy, it's all about the arm. He's got one hell of an arm. So, yeah, I think with Jefferson and Addison and Hawkinson, you want to trade for someone there like that who really has the arm. You know, I don't like the scrambling quarterbacks. Something I've never been a fan of. Far too injury prone.
Yeah, I think John's made a good point there that if you trade to 5, McCarthy is likely going to be the one who is available of the quarterbacks who would be the best remaining available. There was some talk about May not being the one that New England won, and it may be going, you know, maybe going for McCarthy and May slipping to 5. If May slips to 3, I wouldn't be surprised if someone tries to move heaven and earth for the Cardinals at 4. I don't see May falling down to 5. I think Harbour might have a bit of a personal bias though in as well, because of course that's his college quarterback in McCarthy there. And he might want a nice situation for him to fall into, which is Minnesota. You wouldn't want him to be, you know, drafted by the Broncos or the Raiders, would you? It's not as good of a situation. You know, even through our least purple tinted glasses, we can safely say that the Vikings is the best situation for a rookie quarterback to fall into.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we've done the right thing by getting a bridge quarterback in. If you think the Patriots have probably done the right thing as well by them getting a bridge quarterback in, someone I know that you were advocating for, Mr. Field, in Jacoby Brissett. Washington needs someone to start, and Bears now need someone to start, having sent Justin Fields to the Steelers. So that's going to be an interesting draft order.
About the Bears trading Justin Fields, pretty much being Bears in trading away their starter for
their peanuts.
Trading away their bridge quarterback for, because Bears be Bearsing.
So that's their insurance policy gone. So they're going to need a starting caliber quarterback. And I think, you know, everyone's draft, mock draft, looks they're certain to take Caleb Williams. And it looks like Washington are going to take Drake May. So we're looking at a draft now where the top three are almost positively going to take a quarterback. Now, who drafts in the top three is anyone's guess. The Minnesota Vikings need a franchise quarterback, and they need the one that they want, not the one that I want, not the one that Reese wants, not the one that John wants, or Dave on Twitter, or Steve on Facebook, or Catherine on Instagram. I don't care what everyone's opinion is. We have got a coaching staff that is supposedly excellent within the quarterback department. So if they decide to throw the farm at anything and trade up, I'm in. I'm absolutely in. I love Drake May. He looks like a quarterback. He sounds like a quarterback. I would love for us to go up and get him. The problem I think that we might have is that it is widely regarded that the Commanders do not want to trade out of two. If Williams goes one, it's more than likely that he will go before Daniels. Would I trade up for Daniels? I think he's a little bit more risky than some of the other quarterbacks that we've just mentioned. But for me, if you've got the assets and the opportunity to go up and trade with someone to get the quarterback that you want, that might include some assets that we don't want to trade. But what I do think is that it's the right decision to make, because we have said it before and we're saying it again. We are the best position, or the best team in the best position, to take a quarterback in this draft and make sure that they are ready for the 2025 season. I just, why throw away the opportunity? We are in the absolute best position. Now, I don't think we trade up until draft night. I don't think we do anything before then. But it'll be very interesting the coming days, weeks, hours, minutes to see what happens. Reese, have you got a difference of opinion to this?
Well, honestly, I am with you in the sense of trade up, get to number three, sell the farm. If the only draft pick you've got in the first two rounds of the next two drafts is the third overall pick in this draft, I'd be happy. I don't care for next year's first. I don't care for this year's seconds or whatever you've just taken to get there. Get to number three. I know you have your cautions about Daniels. I actually feel like Washington will go for Daniels just because they've taken in Marcus Mariota as their bridge quarterback. And usually teams like to partner the bridge with someone who's of a similar skill set, physique, play style. And Mariota and Daniels is more similar than Mariota and May. And also, Sam Darnold, Josh McCown, Drake May. I mean, McCown coached May at high school. I know it was a bit confusing. I thought it was college. It was high school. It's where he coached him. And for me, I would go, you know, sell the farm and hope you get May at three. But also, I'd be more than happy with Daniels. I feel McCarthy's too raw of a prospect. And I wouldn't want a one-year bridge quarterback with JJ McCarthy. I just feel like that is too raw of a prospect. But yeah, if I am going to take a different viewpoint to you both, and I'm going to try argue you stay put, at 11, you pick up Nix or Penix, you will have some, you know, sweaty moments as you're waiting and are the Giants going to take a quarterback, or the Raiders going to trade up above you, are the Broncos going to trade up above you, what's going to happen there? But if you can long it out, get one of those quarterbacks, maybe you're sitting for a year, Penix and those worries with the knees, maybe you give them an extra year for those to get good. Bo Nix, I've always rated really highly, but I can see that even for my most Bonex tinted glasses, Williams, May, Daniels are all much better quarterbacks. But if you go for all that, and you pick at 23, and Jackson Powers Johnson is still on the board, the guard from Oregon, you know, that ticks, well, at the time of recording, we haven't picked up another guard in free agency. You know, that would be a big tick in what this team needs.
I have to disagree with you there, Reese. Why have we already traded back into the first round if we're not trading up?
Well, I'm saying that I'd rather do that, buddy, but I'm just saying if we're going to take a third view.
If we're taking
a third view staying there, then you're trading back into the first round. You're taking two first round caliber talents. I don't want to argue it, but you two took the good options.
We all know that Kwesi doesn't like his second round picks. I mean, that's what, 3 years in a row now we've not had a second round. It's going to be 3 years in a row, including next year, that we've not had a second round pick. Last year's second round was given up for Hockenson. I'm not complaining about that. That was an absolute steal. So, yeah, he doesn't like his second round pick. So trading up back into the first for another one is... I don't see us sitting at 11 and 23. I just don't see that, unfortunately.
Neither do I, thankfully.
But surely having two first-round draft picks is a good thing. Having two first-round draft pick players on your roster is a good thing. So it's better than having a first and a second, surely, because by logic, they are better players. So yeah, I think, obviously, I'm right. But if we were to trade up for a JJ McCarthy or take two first-round draft prospects, I'm pretty easy, really. I'm pretty relaxed at this moment in time. But let's go get the quarterback that we want. However, whatever means necessary. But there is a second part to this listener question. Reese, fill us in.
Yes, Dominic did have a second part of his question. And Dominic, don't worry, we've not forgotten about that. He asked, which quarterbacks should the Vikings avoid at all costs in the draft?
It's a tricky one because we've seen quarterbacks drafted at 1, 2, 3, anywhere in the first round and be very high on people's lists. And then all of a sudden he's stuck with Wilson at the Jets. So it's a guessing game at this stage. All you can do is look at skill sets, talk to the guys, see who you think you want to draft. Me personally, I'm going to go past skill set. I'm going to go past college records and I'm going to go with injury records. You can't draft a quarterback that's had two knee injuries like Penix has had. You just can't do it. It is a potential ticking time bomb. Doesn't matter the advancements in medical science. Not so long ago, one of those injuries is career ending. Two of them, I just couldn't risk it. I could not spend what is potentially two first round draft picks on a quarterback that's blown his knee twice. That's just off my books.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Rich. Knee injuries, quarterbacks, it can be a horror show if it just keeps recurring. But for me, I'm going to go with one that might surprise some people, and other people who have spoken to me might not be so surprised by this. The quarterback I would avoid at all costs is Caleb Williams. I have major, major concerns about his attitude. We've seen him lose big games, and rather than do his media, he's run off and gone crying to his mum, literally. Could you imagine a pro athlete, a man who is one of only 32 jobs in the world that exist at that level, going off and crying to his mum because he's lost a game? I can't fathom it, and I don't understand why teams don't have more character questions about Caleb Williams. And you know, he's not exactly been the most forthcoming with wanting to take any tests that people give him. And yeah, I know we've said, oh, you only harm your draft stock when throwing at the combine and things like that, but we watched Trevor Lawrence do it and everyone got so excited when Trevor Lawrence flipped through. We don't see that from Caleb Williams, and I just have so many issues about that character. I just feel like that is one that could divide, destroy, you know, it'd be bad. It could just be really bad for the locker room if you picked him.
More red flags than Welsh bunting, that boy. I would agree with you. I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. John, what's your opinion?
I have to agree with Reece. Caleb Williams was going to be my pick. Completely avoid him at all costs because, quite simply, the Bears are interested in him. The Bears have never had a 1,000-yard passer in their entire history. So I would not touch him with a barge pole. Let them make the mistake. They think they know what they're doing. They've just got rid of Justin Fields just as a safety net. I mean, why would you do that? I just cannot grasp what is going on to that franchise. But it's their mistake to make. They seem to be set on going for Caleb Williams, and I can't wait to watch it blow up in their face.
Is that something that we might have to replay on a podcast in the future when he's hammering us at the bank? I don't know. He's got the skill set. I mean, he looks fairly decent when he's on the ball. He's won Heisman Trophy winner. Surely he's one of those. So I can understand why people would be high on him. He's also a bit of a brand, isn't he? And people like that. People like the quarterbacks that come through as a bit of a brand. But he's not anywhere near the top of my list just because of his attitude. And I think he might be good somewhere else, but the Vikings have built a great culture. And I don't think you drop a Caleb Williams-sized bomb into that culture and test it out. It's an absolute no for me.
I mean, I just feel sorry for the Bears fans when they draft Caleb Williams first overall when he demands a trade.
Yeah. He's not been too appreciative of the Bears showing interest in him, put it that way. But at the end of the day, what do we know? Because we're just guessing. As everyone else is, it's a very exciting time, isn't it? The draft is just over the horizon. We've got all the big free agency players out of the way. I know there's still some good ones on the board, and we might go back into that and dip our toe in free agency, but we're all our minds are pretty much focused on the draft. So I'm sure some things will have moved on by next week. Do you want to come back and talk about them?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's my Monday night treat, is this. Sitting and talking football with you guys. So I'm definitely in. So, right. Thanks to you for listening to us. Thank you for putting up with our opinions. If you've got any opinions, by the way, just send them in. Tell us what you think. Tell us what we're wrong. Tell us when we're right. We want to hear them. Social media, email, all that sort of stuff. Reece, give us the details.
Well, as always on social media, you can find us at UK Vikings Fans. And for email, it's ukvikespod@gmail.com. That's ukvikespod@gmail.com.
That's it. Send us your messages on the digital wires. But I think it's time to say goodbye. So come on, say goodbye, gentlemen.
Bye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Yep, that just about wraps it up. Cheers. Ta-ra.